Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's National Brown Baguette Day. So it's time for the combo platter. Give us a Mavericks opinion, 877-881-1053. And then, did you take your lunch to school and what was usually in it? And my follow-up question on that is going to be, did you feel like that was a status symbol? Because one of the things I felt like is if you bought your lunch, it just kind of felt like you were cooler than the people who brought their lunch. Because for the longest time, I brought my lunch. And I remember how like envious most of us were for the people who got to go through the line and get the square pizza or whatever square you chose pizza. To get your Star Crunch, your chocolate milk, whatever.
Chicken fried steak.
Chicken fried steak was good with the mashed potatoes and the nuclear green gravy.
We had at Duncanville at high school, we had the power line where you got two of the meats.
What?
Yeah, you paid a little bit extra. And so then you got more protein.
You got more meats, huh?
Yeah.
Man,
that's good.
Did you
so you got two chicken fried steaks instead of one chicken fried steak.
I always
steak.
Felt like I screwed myself out of my lunch because what I would do is I would take the roll, I would put the mashed potatoes and gravy on the roll, put the Salisbury steak on the roll too, and then eat it as a sandwich. And then I'm like, well, now I have a sandwich, but I have no sides. And so that was always a big problem for me there. I don't know if I have an opinion for Mavs, but I do have a stat that I think is very interesting thanks to Mark Folliwell.
We'll allow it.
Do you know who has made the most three-pointers in Mavs playoff history so far?
I would guess Dirk.
Dorian Finney-Smith.
It is not even close with Dirk, by the way. This is crazy to me. Number seven on this list, Jason Terry at 42.
Sure.
In 2010-2011. Number six.
Oh, you're saying in one playoff run.
In one playoff run, yes.
Oh. I thought you meant in their career.
In a playoff run season. Jason Kidd, 43 in 2010-2011. Nick Van Exel, 44 in 2002-03. Dorian Finney-Smith, 45 in this year. Michael Finley, 47 in 2002-03. Luka, this year, 48. Number one, Reggie Bullock, with 50 this year. 50 is insane. It's crazy.
Wow.
But three guys in the top four. Three guys in the top four from this season alone have shot 45 or made 45 three-pointers.
How much the game has changed,
right?
I mean,
yes.
If Dirk took 5 three-pointers in a game, they'd be like, what the hell is he doing?
Yeah. Stop doing
like,
that
is stupid. Like, we get that you're a three-point shooting big man, but five?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You're insane, you know? And so, you know, you'd look at box scores even back in 2011, and if you shot as a team over 25 three-pointers in the game, they're like, dude, what in the crap are you guys doing? Are you that scared of the basket that you're just jacking up threes? And now it's to the point where the Mavs are taking 40 three-pointers a game, and they're really only playing six players in the game. So when you look at it, you're looking at it going, man, every player, if you just average that out, and it won't be that way, is averaging about 7 three-point attempts per player.
From the 214, my combo platter is I think the Mavs will actually do very well in game five and maybe win. And yes, I took my lunch to school, brown bagging it.
Oh,
and since today is Wednesday was peanut butter and jelly day. I like the idea that you had like your assigned
they had a schedule. That's
meals
nice.
for every day.
Corey, what did you bring to lunch? Did you say that and I missed it?
It was going to be typically a ham and cheese sandwich. It was Kraft Singles, Kevin, I know, in honor of you, on white.
Of course.
And then it was going to be Doritos. Yes, crust is fine.
Quick question.
Mustard, mayonnaise?
Was that at a time when white bread was like the only bread that you knew existed? Like, I remember there was a time where it was like,
Iron Kids bread.
Yes.
So from Rainbow.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so we went with Iron Kids bread was the way we approached it. Whenever I got to the point where I could decide. Whenever I was a kid, it was always wheat bread until I got to the point I could decide. And then it was either cheese flavored Doritos or ranch flavored Doritos, and then a pickle. So that was always lunch.
It's like Emilio Estevez from Breakfast Club.
But I did go at some point. I kind of changed it back and forth, and I did buy the lunch occasionally.
Did you feel elevated when you did?
Maybe so. I don't know. I just felt like I stood in line. I was hungry. It was 90 cents in elementary school, and then it was 95 in middle school. I was like, the hell is this? I'm only getting a nickel back? So that was weird.
You did that on purpose, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Inflation has been
great.
Like, when my kids are like, just buy lunch, and we have three. Because back when it was in high school, I think it was $1.50 for the lunch.
Wow. Ours was like $1.10.
It was around, it was under $2.
But was it high school when they're like, you can spend whatever the hell you want because you everything is individualized now?
But I would go through the real line. I wouldn't do the
You didn't get to go through the hot line.
And, right.
Yeah, okay.
So I would get whatever the meal was being served that day. And
Fiesta salad.
I guess I need to give my Mavs opinion. I believe this. And maybe I'll change my mind after, next season's over. I think in the next 3 years, the Mavs are going to get at least one championship.
I think so too, man.
Woo!
So I'm not saying, look, you're down 3-1 now.
Yeah.
I do think it's over. I would love to be the fourth team to push this to a seventh game. And we saw the Mavericks in 2003 in the first round.
On the wrong end of that.
There. Well, yeah, but we ended up winning.
I know,
luckily,
but just like,
won.
It felt embarrassing when it got to game seven.
But I would say my big Mavs opinion is I really do believe in Nico and Kid, and I'll throw Cuban on the third place platter because he was the main reason. If from what I get from my Mavs insiders, he's the main guy that for over a decade said the draft is worthless.
Yeah.
And I really think that because when he bought the team, he tried to buy the draft. If people don't know, he bought 2 first-round picks. His first year as owner going, I'm going to buy a championship by buying the draft.
Yeah.
And he drafted Courtney Alexander, Eton Thomas, and Darnell Harvey.
Nice.
If you've never heard of him, that's why. In the second round, you did get Eduardo Nájera. So you pretty much got nothing out of your first 3-round pick. So Mark thought the right thing. I'm going to buy a great team.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy draft picks. I'm going to pay that money. And then they were so bad at drafting, he pretty much gave up on it in a hurry in his career and said, it'll just be better to trade the picks and get veteran players. And then when we became a bad team and G-Bag Nation is desperately begging for them to rebuild and to concentrate on the draft, Cuban's like, no, I got to try to chase the 8 seed. And they got Luka, and that's awesome. But you're going to have to add draft-wise. And I believe Nico and Kid will convince Mark Cuban drafting is our way to keep this thing good and maybe even get it to greatness. And that's why they are going to win a championship and keep this thing rolling. And Luke is going to be here for at least the whole contract he just signed.
And then you said ended up buying your lunch? Or
I
did
bought 95% of the time. I think if I took to school, it was peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was rare. I think that my mom gave me $2 every day or $1 every day, which paid for my lunch.
From the 214.
Now you just have it on your card.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
with
but
your
it costs
ID
way too
number.
Much.
I know.
I'm like, you guys are out of money already? Didn't mom put like this much money on your card?
That's when you go and ball out. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I got that
or
extra
buy
yogurt.
For your friends. Yeah, absolutely. From the 214, I still think the Mavs in 7 in tuna sandwiches with Lay's potato chips and pickles on my sandwich, a very soft oatmeal cookie.
Yes.
Yesterday, we were at my wife's school, and they were showing off all of her tag projects where somebody said a utopian future would include John Cena High School, which I thought was amazing. But they had cookies there.
Was that your favorite kid?
That project was really good. They had lots of cookies there, and one of the kids was sad because there was only one chocolate cookie left. But the lady who's running the cookies was really quick to say, but we have plenty of oatmeal raisin cookies available.
You'll love to see it.
So
you'll love to see
nobody
it.
Wanted the oatmeal raisin cookies.
And you didn't bring them here for me?
Yeah, can you? I love oatmeal raisin cookies.
Right?
It's the worst cookie.
Thank you.
No.
Yeah.
Well, the kids spoke,
guys,
and they were like, nobody wants your garbage vegetable
right
cookie.
To, you know, whoa, have
whoa,
to
whoa, whoa, whoa. I know a raisin
Reggie
is not a vegetable.
Reggie.
Relax.
Did you
understand
hear that?
Yeah,
I know a raisin is not a vegetable.
What is it?
It's a fruit.
Are you sure?
No, definitely not.
Well, the grape is a fruit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So raisin is from
a
grape.
It's a wrinkled grape.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that you was solid over there.
Yeah, like it's like whenever you drink wine, you're like, I'm getting my fruit in for the day.
I thought I was going to have to correct you. I'm like, first thought whale and dolphins were fish.
That's, yeah.
They're in the ocean. How are they not fish?
So you think coral reef is a fish?
Because they come from the ground.
That's a fair point. You got me. You know what, Reggie? Yes, I do think the coral reef is a fish.
You think sunken pirate ships are fish?
Yes.
They're in the ocean.
That's a great point. If you're in the ocean and you're not an inanimate object, I guess I do think you're a fish. And so feel free to destroy my knowledge about all of that.
So it seems like all three of y'all at some point brought your lunch. Were y'all lunch traders?
No. This is my lunch.
Wow. Yeah, none of you.
I was too much of a square.
And also, yes, my mom realized like how specific I was. And so I had exactly the lunch that I wanted. Just to show you like how I have always been like this. When I was at daycare in elementary school, we did a Secret Santa drawing. And you'd spend $10 on your Secret Santa. I 100% drew my own name and didn't tell anybody and spent the $10 on packs of basketball cards and gave them to myself because I was like, that's what I want.
So some other this kid had other, to buy this.
Yeah, this other kid's not going to get what I want. I want basketball cards. And so that's what I got.
And Reggie, I will tell you this too. One day I sat down at the table with my tray and my French fries were all sitting right there. And a friend reached over to grab a fry off my plate, which you should not do anyway. All right. Like you don't do that to people. And I told him, I explained to him, that is the exact amount of French fries that I needed to be full today. So this is you taking that one fry is going to keep me hungry all day, and I don't want that. And so he understood after that moment.
From the 407, Mavericks are done. Never bought lunch. District in Ohio let us go home for lunch each day. Man, that would be amazing.
Wait, in high school? But like middle school?
In high school. Your parents are like going up there to get you. I don't think so. Now, it's National Brown Baguette Day, so our combo platter. Remember, you got to start with a Mavs opinion, and then do you take your lunch to school, and what was usually in it? Did you guys feel like, I know, Corey, you said maybe, maybe not. I always felt like there was a status system of if you brought your lunch, you're at the lowest. If you went through the cold lunch line is what we called it. That was like the prescribed lunch that you were getting. That was next. And then if you got to venture out and go to the hot lunch line where they had like there was chicken sandwiches, burgers, cheeseburgers, and you had like your option of what you wanted to do. People were jealous of that. Fountain sodas. It was wild.
Wow, I don't even think we had that. We had like the Cougar Den. It was like 7-Eleven, you know, kind of you had those options in there. Because no, it's not. We were the Bryan Adams Cougars, all right? That was the name of our school. Anything. You were making a face like it was a den where I could go hook up with older ladies.
Green and white and had a left-handed catcher. And
I do not remember our left-handed catcher.
Trouble.
I still like that Mike, off of that one thing, he was like, left-handed catcher, they're screwed.
I don't remember
that meant there
him.
Wasn't a kid at a 5A school that was right-handed that could catch.
I don't remember a left-handed catcher at that time, but...
who he is.
But, you know, I didn't, I always was like, you know, because I did both, I guess, Kevin. I brought my lunch and went to the lunch line. I didn't think any differently.
From the 903 hot take, if the Mavericks win game 5, this series definitely goes 7. And I always brought the peanut butter and jelly sandwich with Doritos and a Dunkaroo. Is peanut butter and jelly the most logical of the sandwiches, or do you think it was the most prolific? Me personally, it was ham and cheese or roast beef and cheese. But do you think peanut butter and jelly was the most likely sandwich to be in that bag if you were taking your lunch to school?
No, it was ham and cheese or turkey and cheese or tuna. Peanut butter and jelly, I don't think I make them all the time for the kids now because they love them. Yeah. I did not love peanut butter and jelly, I guess, as a kid. I needed some meat. But I do remember the one day where my mom was like out of town. My dad forgot to give me my money for lunch and also forgot to send me with a lunch.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what do I do? I mean, I'm like in third grade and I was like, I don't know. I've never done that. I've never experienced this before. I was almost in tears. And the lunch lady was like, no, here, eat this peanut butter and jelly. And I was like, okay. Greatest peanut butter and jelly I've ever had in my life.
That's always an incredible moment because I also have had that moment where I was like, dang, I didn't bring anything and I didn't know what to do. And the lunch ladies feels like they've been waiting their whole life. Yes. No, don't worry about it, baby. I got you.
Absolutely. I felt so taken care of.
My son did that once and decided to punish himself. I asked him how his lunch.
That sounds like your son.
Yeah, for sure. I asked him how his lunch was, and he goes, I forgot to bring my lunch. And I was like, oh, did you go through the line? And he goes, no, I decided that I didn't need to eat lunch because I forgot.
Oh, my gosh.
And I respected him for that. Now, I was also super concerned.
Did you go get him something to eat immediately?
Yes, okay. Yes. No, for sure. I also appreciated his, like, level of discipline, but I was also very concerned that as an elementary school kid, he was like, no, can't do it. Mm. He's gotten softer over the years, so, you know, not so much. From the 682, the Mavericks will win game 5 but lose the series. I took my lunch and it was leftovers because I cooked dinner and I could cook. Ooh, fascinating. Then you can dictate all the meals, your own dinner, what your lunch is going to be.
Just a kid here like, oh, yes, here we have a chicken Parmigiano. And
I guess I can remember when we had leftover meatloaf and I'd get rye bread with mustard on it and then meatloaf in the middle. That was a good lunch.
Oh, were people jealous of your meatloaf sandwich?
I don't know.
Okay. You didn't have a lot of interaction. Are you a person that talk while you ate or you're just like, I'm eating. I don't want to talk to you.
I don't remember how much I talked to people at lunch.
Did you sit with people at lunch?
Yeah. But
like the jocks?
I guess so. I just sat with the jocks. I hated school.
With their Letterman jacket.
I was like, this is worthless until 2:45 when sports happen. Just here to, I'll memorize enough to pass and then let's go do the real thing I'm here for.
Man. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you so much for all of y'all's feedback. Coming up next, we will talk with Rangers manager Chris Woodward right here on your home of the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll talk with Rangers manager Chris Woodward in just 1 second. But a couple of quick notes for you is Trey Lance told reporters yesterday that he was dealing with a finger injury all year. You remember he hit his hand on an opponent's helmet in the preseason. Kyle Shanahan said it was a chip. He had missed about a week. But apparently this is something that stuck with Trey Lance all throughout the year, he says. And then the NFL and NFLPA are getting into the blockchain-based fantasy sports video game market with NFL Rivals that will come out next year. But now, brought to you by BioAdvanced and TXU Energy, we bring to you Texas Rangers manager Chris Woodward. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, fellas. If you don't mind, can you give me a minute before we start talking baseball?
Go for it.
My heart's pretty heavy right now, obviously, with what happened yesterday in Uvalde. And I just got to, you know, obviously send out my thoughts, prayers, and my love, man, to those who lost, you know, loved ones. I can't begin to imagine, you know, I have kids, and I can't begin to imagine what they're going through right now. And, you know, today was a tough day to even be away from my family and know that they're going to school. And I just, it's weighing pretty heavy on a lot of us in this country, but and I know we got to be better. We got to be better for our children. We got to be better for our kids. We got to do better as a society. Our leaders got to be better. I feel really passionate about that. And you know, the hate and anger that's going on in our country right now has to stop. Like, we have to start treating better people, you know, with kindness and love. And I just don't know where we went wrong. This is not the country we sought out to be in the beginning. And it's on us. It's on us as leaders, but it's also on us as people to kind of just treat one another better. And these things won't happen. I know there's some hot button topics as far as guns and that goes, but it comes down to people. I truly believe that. And if we're not radicalizing people one way or the other on either side, both sides are wrong in this regard. So I'm just, it's really important that I have to share that before we ever start talking about anything baseball secondary at this point. But, you know, it was tough to even think about, you know, during a game last night, you know, knowing that I have kids and I just can't imagine what those people are going through right now.
Did you or did the team, did y'all have like any kind of like forum or discussion or avenue for people to be able to talk about it before you had to go out there on the field?
We didn't. We obviously had a lot of discussion about it in small groups, but it's just you know, it's something that, that keeps plaguing us. And I think it's just a product of the society. I see it every day. I see it in the grocery store. I see it, you know, my wife's a trauma nurse and she had to try to resuscitate a guy who got shot on the street because somebody cut the guy off. And you see the anger in people. And, you know, that comes from our leadership. Honestly, that's the way to get votes. And it's the way to go the one way or the other. And both sides use it effectively. But we have to be better. We have to be better as a society and start treating each other. We weren't like this before. you know, we had compassion for one another. We're not as far apart as people make it seem, or maybe our leadership makes it seem at times. I have friends on both sides, and, you know, we get along fine. We have healthy debates about it, and that's what our country was built on. It's a democracy, and now it's getting to the point where people are being radicalized, and now our kids are suffering because of it. I mean, never before like this has this ever been the case where our children are now suffering our, you know, faults. So it's just it's been really heavy on obviously a lot of us, but especially my mind.
Woody, I was listening to our morning show talk about this morning, and I just kind of wanted to see kind of where you are whenever you're standing there and having moment of silence. Does it feel kind of hollow?
Okay. It does. It doesn't, you know, I'm tired of saying thoughts and prayers, and I know it's been a lot of the sentiment, but I'm not going one side or the other when it comes to, you know, I know, like I said, there's some hot button topics like that we're not going to resolve tomorrow. I get that. But I think what it comes down to is, like, we got to start treating each other better. If you just read social media and, like, any media outlet, anything you see, and just the way people respond to one another now, it's the vitriol, the hatred. It's like, we're not built that way. We're not that far apart. I have people that are maybe far apart from me as far as viewpoints go, but we still have common ground, man. We're still human beings at the end of it. And this is only going to continue. Whether we get rid of guns or not, it doesn't matter. It's still going to continue because people are they believe that, you know, the extreme is the right way to go. And that's not the case. We need to find kindness back in somehow in society.
Well, this probably won't help. And I swear we'll get to baseball in just a second. But as long as we're giving people information, the Richardson ISD sent out a note that Berkner High School had been placed on lockdown based on police activity in the neighborhood and reports of an armed person near campus. That is right by where my mom lives, and Spring Ridge Elementary School, which is like right next to Berkner, was also placed on secure protocol. If anybody listening right now, if you have a kid at Berkner, as soon as the lockdown's over, they're just going to release kids out to their parents. So if you have a kid at that school, be prepared in case you're like probably already aware of this. So I know it's a tough transition over to baseball from all of that, but we will give it a try and see how we do.
Absolutely.
I've always been curious about this, and when you're watching the game, we talk about you can hear the pop of the bat. When you're watching it and the other team is hitting, how often do you feel like, you know, we just gave up a home run?
Pretty much right away. I mean, you could tell. Definitely some guys, you know, have a different sound of their bat. But for the most part, yeah, you can tell. When our guys hit it, and, you know, you're like, oh, man, he got that one. Now, if it's cold out or, you know, if it's windy or something like that, you know, there's been times where you hit it and you're like, oh, man, that ball's hammered, but it doesn't get out. But for the most part, you know.
Woody, I was wondering about this, just watching a lot of NBA playoffs recently and kind of how the crowd in San Francisco was very loud for Golden State the other night against the Dallas Mavericks. You've been a player, you've been a coach, you've been a manager. What are a couple places where when things are going right for that team, that's one of the loudest stadiums in baseball?
Yeah, I mean, San Fran comes to mind. When I wasn't with the Dodgers, just as a player, you know, you could kind of feel the crowd kind of fuel that team. Boston, New York, any of those places. I feel like the old Yankee Stadium, the new one is obviously good too. But the, you know, Boston, you know, those fans are right on you. They're really passionate. They get on you. You know, those type of places. And honestly, you know, Texas back in the day, you know, when I was a player, you know, I would always feel that that crowd. You can feel the loyalty behind the Ranger fans against us. It always kind of sparked that team, and the team feeds off of it. The hitters feed off of it. The pitchers feed off of it.
And then last night, I know this goes into a general statement, but last night Dane Dunning was having a pretty good game. Obviously, defensively, it didn't go well for you in the fourth inning, and there were a few times that they did hit the ball hard in that inning. Mm-hmm. How many times is it that a pitching coach says, I'm going out there, or how many times do you say, hey, I want you to go out there?
It's probably, probably more so on him. I'd say it's probably 60-40. There's times when I say, hey, go talk to him. Like, he needs a breather or something. But Doug does a good job of kind of knowing when to go out there. It's just, he feels it. If a guy needs a reset or he needs to say, express something to him from a mechanical standpoint or just get him kind of dialed back in. But nights like last night, it's just, I thought Dane did a great job keeping his composure. And, we didn't make plays behind him. It's baseball. It's going to happen. You don't ever want those things to happen. But one thing we do ask our pitchers is, hold steady, man. Like, it's not always going to be perfect behind you, but at the same time, you need to keep doing your job. And I thought Dane did a phenomenal job. He just kept making pitches, kept attacking the zone, didn't seem rattled, didn't show up any teammates at all, and honestly picked a lot of guys up. We gave him a lot of outset inning and didn't make plays back there, but I thought Dane did a really good job of just keeping himself composed.
Woody, I'm only watching on television, but it caught you talking to Dane after the sixth inning where he put a zero on the board. Were you saying, do you want to go out for the seventh inning, or did he how did that conversation go when I was like, well, I guess he's done because Woody's talking to him and it looks like he's congratulating him, but I have no idea what you're saying or the conversation is there. And Dane, who last year was on somewhat of a pretty big restriction, this year you guys are giving him more leeway, and he's being able to give you pretty much six-plus innings in his last six starts.
Yeah, I thought, we kind of decided maybe he'd be done by then. But I wanted to hear from him, too. I basically told him, hey, I think that's good. I wanted to hear him say I want another one. I was really hoping he would do that, and he did. So at that point, I kind of knew. I was like, all right. I felt like he had done a really good job for us, like I said, in that fourth inning. And then to just continue pitching, he was actually pretty sharp up to that point at the end. Actually made some good pitches in that seventh inning. He just got unlucky. Jam shot. I think Trout might have hit it twice. It jammed him so good. But, I thought Dane did a really good job. So he, deserved to kind of get the opportunity to go back out for the seventh. He didn't have too many pitches to go with. Obviously the reason why I had to get him out of there. But I love that a guy wants to go back out there, and I felt like he deserved it last night.
Woody, a couple weeks ago, we have a segment called Combo Platter where we have to give a sports opinion, and then we talk about some sort of food topic or something like that. A couple weeks ago, I said that this team would be at 500 by the end of this month. What are a couple of things that can prove me right here, that this team can do to prove me correct in my prediction?
Yeah, no, it might be. I think we're really close, to be honest with you. And I know, we've lost the last three, but we're not far away. I think, the way the pitching has kind of come together, and, we got some really dependable arms down there. Starting pitching has been getting deeper into games. Some guys are starting to swing the bat a little bit better. Garver was a huge plus last night. If he starts getting hot, Simeon's been swinging the bat better. If Corey gets hot, like some of these things, Cole's been swinging the bat well. So if we can just kind of string together and obviously play consistent baseball, the schedule eases up on us in June. Now, I know you're saying at the end of this month, but I think we just take it game by game. Honestly, win tonight. We got a series in Oakland that we feel like we can win. And you never know. We could take a bunch there, and we're on our way. I think once we get to that point where we're kind of at the 500 mark or just above, then, guys start to – because there's some belief in that clubhouse. We're just a few things away, against some of these better teams. But we'll button that up, and we continue to talk about those things and get those things better. We'll play good baseball the rest of the way.
So as you take it game by game, we shouldn't say we need the team to go 6-1 for Corey's prediction to be right by the end of the
month. Let's go ahead and get over it.
I say 7-0, but that's fine. 6-1 works.
I like it,
man.
I think
that. Kind of feel like he just called us out for having a losing mentality.
I'm okay with that.
All right, 7-0 in the next seven. That sounds fantastic as well. Well, we appreciate having you on. I know for so many people, really unfortunate, terrible circumstances. So appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that, and then talking some baseball with us as usual.
I appreciate it.
appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. There you go. Rangers manager Chris Woodward. And by the way, for the people who are curious, I know somebody who works in the city of Richardson, and I'm trying to get information on this because you know how things can like get blown out of proportion because it went from a message that was sent out by, I think it was the Richardson PD, that there was somebody in the area to now there are people on Twitter who are saying there's an active shooter at Berkner, which I have not seen anything that says that, but the lockdown was because there was somebody in the area. I'm still trying to get details or, you know, find out what's going on and what is not going on. Coming up next, it's time for Mike Likes It.
You think Mark Cuban will announce this offseason that he's building a new arena because of the leak?
Whoa.
Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Couple of quick updates. If you go to check things out, KRLD 1080, our sister station, has a story up right now on the website. Says a school district spokesman says Berkner and Spring Ridge, which are like right next to each other, Berkner is the high school, Spring Ridge is the elementary school, were put on lockdown status because of reports of an armed man in the neighborhood. I talked with somebody that works in the city, and they said they are not aware of anything like directly involving the school district. So my mom lives right over there. Those two schools are on like the same road as a Super Target. And then there's like a Lowe's right next to it. There's a church there. And there are a bunch of neighborhoods and a park all throughout there. And so there are a lot of things like directly around there. I'm not telling people like nothing happened at the school and people are making things up. I don't know that. I'm just saying there's a lot of other things around there. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the school, but since the schools are right freaking there, it would make sense to have them in lockdown. So that's the information as we know it right now. Now we will lighten things up with some Mike Likes It.
All right, so let's go to cut four here, Reggie, because last night, as the Mavericks are up by 15 points at halftime, and I think every Maverick fan's feeling pretty good, probably a little, I was going to be honest, I'm a little bit concerned just because of like, well, I've seen a 14-point lead go away in a hurry. Yep. In the third quarter. So I think we're good here. But then all of a sudden, the game isn't starting because of the leak cut four.
It's been one of the best in the NBA.
It's Mark Cuban's building. Get it fixed. Is.
Look at Luka. Luka's like, what are you talking about? The water, roof, floor?
Even in some of the gyms I play in over in Europe, we don't have this problem, this problem with. But they've used every towel on that bench to soak up the moisture.
So they did show Mark Cuban multiple times during
it. He looks sad.
And I mean, he was fuming, right? Body language. That's what my wife tells me all the time with my body language. So Mark Cuban's body language was, I'm about to kill this building type of deal. Like, I guess, it is so mad at that leak because it's happened before. And I can't remember what team it was against, but it was the exact same area where that leak was. And I just wonder this, because he does have a lot of property in the design district. He has the Mavericks practice facility on the other side of the highway. And supposedly, from everything I've heard, a new building is going to go up there. That's where the Mavericks are going to play. I don't know if the Stars will go there, too, if the Stars will stay at the American Airlines Center.
I bet they don't.
You think they'll stay at
the
AAC?
That is my prediction, that the Stars stay at the AAC and the Mavericks get their own, like, standalone building that can also be used for concerts and everything, but that they would dictate everything.
Mark Cuban is interesting to me because I looked at multiple places, and I think he said this before the playoffs started or early on in the playoffs, like, I'm not going to do interviews, I'm not going to talk about the games, because I think he knows, like me, I can be, as soon as a game ends, very emotional about the game, whether it's very excited about what happened or very disappointed with what happened. And I think it's very smart by Mark Cuban, because I don't think he can control his emotions after a game is over. And he will say things that, whether it's after he wakes up in the morning or later in that afternoon, will say, gosh, I wish I didn't say that, even though that's how I feel. Or maybe it's even how, and you could be like, well, I don't feel that way anymore. I just felt like that way in the moment. Or, you know, I don't feel that way at all, really, but at that, I just said it, right? And so I think it's good for him not to have a microphone in front of him 30 minutes after a game. Jerry, look, I'm not a fan of Jerry Jones, but he seems to be able to spin everything and we're the greatest team in the world no matter what happens.
Right.
And my coach is the greatest coach, and I can't believe you'd ever question my coach no matter what happens after a game. He is a businessman first. And not emotional at all about the Cowboys. It's just a business to him that's making billions of dollars. Where Mark Cuban's a little bit different, where, yes, it is a business to him, and it is making probably, you know, nine figures per year for him. But he doesn't handle playoff situations well, especially if it doesn't go his way. And even if it kind of does go the Mavs way and win, he might be really upset about a certain situation with a ref or another team. Remember, like, he got mad at Russell Westbrook and then said, like, he's not a good player type of deal, and that kind of blew up. So I like that he's not talking, but I think if he could have talked last night, he might have spat it out that, well, they're not going to be there much longer anyways.
Which would have obviously been amazing, but for all the points you mentioned, I get why it's probably for
and
the best.
It is a building, Corey, that's over 20 years old. I know that it doesn't seem like it's that old, but the Mavericks did play in 2001, the playoffs against the Utah Jazz at Reunion Arena. That was the last games at Reunion Arena for the Dallas Mavericks when they upset the Utah Jazz, went back to Utah and won that game. But it seems like in our world now, if you get a building that's 25 years old, it's over. You have to build a new one. And I do think
a sporting arena building, because, like, the, you know, Bank of America Tower has been there for since I was a kid. Right. The sporting arenas, it seems like these guys are like, no, we have to have new innovations. Otherwise, our fans aren't going to show up. I would be fine if the AAC just stayed there and they were there forever. But I know Cuban, like, I think that's one of the things with owners is they always have in mind that they want to grow that place. They want to have their own thoughts on the design, the way that Jerry did his.
Yeah, and he doesn't have that with the American Airlines Center. He was not, you know, he did not. I don't know how much he had say so, but not a lot. And the other thing, too, is he had no control over the parking. If you wonder where all the parking went, because it is miserable to go to a Maverick game. I park really far away. I park away from me. If you guys know where Dick's Last Resort and Hooters is, I park further away than that. So I'd rather walk close to, I don't think it's a half mile, but I would rather walk about that far and walk to my car way out there. And then just, I live in kind of, you know, your Bishop Arts area. So it's just literally a mile and a half or 2 mile type of drive to back home. I would rather do that than get stuck in like the Lexus level garage parking for 45 minutes trying to get out of there.
That is,
and then there's only two ways out. There's really only one way out. And then you can try to loop back around to get back to South Dallas.
Yeah,
I mean,
gross.
Pretty much they're trying to just send you north, because I get it. Most of the people probably are from North Dallas or that way. But if you are south of the building, you can't even go south of the building. You have to take somewhat of a U-turn to try to get going south. So I just think with the killing of the parking there, the building is showing wear and tear. It's still a great building. I love going to the American Airlines Center. It's really nice. But I do think with what Mark Cuban has bought in kind of your design district area, I just wonder if after these playoffs are over, when he does speak and they ask him about the leak, if he will then say, well, we're not going to be there much longer.
I'm serious. When I know y'all think I was joking, maybe it was last week or something, but there was a time when he was talking about like a floating arena or something. Am I wrong about this? Did I not see this story?
I don't recall that either.
Maybe it was elevated so that you were actually seeing some of the skyline. But there were some like plans on the design that he wanted. He wanted it to be a lot different than anything else. I'm going to go look and see if I can find this thing, because it was insane.
My other mic likes it. I was talking to Leslie McCaslin last night. I'm doing pre and post with her on Rangers, and she used to be the sideline reporter for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and she'd do pre and post. She did a lot for Oklahoma City. But she was there during the heyday of Durant, Westbrook, and got to see all the playoff games, all the arenas, and, you know, she's from here, and she loves Dallas, but she's also like, yeah, Dallas is not, like, the best venue for playoff basketball, as in the majority of other arenas are going to be way louder than going to the American Airlines Center. It's just the way that we are in Dallas as a fan base. What if, you know, when you go to college, they have mandatory orientation, like you have to go to orientation.
Uh-huh.
And there's multiple dates because they know, like, hey, people's schedules, maybe they do live in this area where this college is, or they can't get there till this time. So we have multiple orientation dates for freshmen to go to that are entering the school to kind of give you kind of the rules and everything that we try to go by and all this stuff. And we say, hey, you went to this orientation. So if you really screw up bad, they're like, you went to this orientation, so we can do this to you or not do this to you. And I would like for the city of Dallas-Fort Worth, our Metroplex, to start having for season ticket holders mandatory orientations to learn how to cheer at the sporting event they've decided to buy a ticket to.
I just want to make sure I understand, because you feel like the way you cheer is the only logical way to cheer at sporting events.
I would say playing Major League Baseball in almost every Major League city, not all of them, but almost every Major League city, we are somewhat lower on the totem pole of knowing when to cheer at a baseball game and how to cheer at a baseball game. I do like that we don't boo. I said this multiple times. There's multiple occasions where I've sat there with Mark McLemore or Steve Buschel or David Murphy, right? They've played a lot more Major League Baseball than I have, and they're like, luckily they're playing for Texas right now. That's a fact. I mean, luckily they're playing for the Dallas Mavericks or Dallas Stars right now, because in a lot of other buildings, you're getting booed off of the field or off of the ice or off of the court for what you've just done. But we're different. That's a good thing. And maybe you can't have it both ways. Maybe you have to have, hey, you don't get booed here, but you're really not going to get cheered here either. But I'd love to have kind of like an orientation, because I do think that the majority of fans in Dallas-Fort Worth that go to games don't really know how to cheer at a game to impact the team in a positive way. I'm not telling them to boo and to yell cuss words and to do all that at the other team. I just think a mandatory kind of orientation on, why do you cheer with two strikes? Why do you cheer on a 3-1 count to try to maybe get ball four? Or why, you know, I know I'm talking in basketball, why do you stand up and get really motivated for the team to play defense and get a 24-second shot clock violation in the playoffs? Like, all of these things, the majority of people have no clue what a 24-second shot clock violation is at the game. Or, like, if you cause Jordan pulled a travel in a big situation. I get that people know how to cheer after the ball goes in the basket, But I think for the majority of people that are going to the games, they kind of only know to cheer if the ball goes in the basket.
6 years ago, almost, Kevin, he said he floated building one on the 20th floor of a skyscraper, a glass building so everybody could see outside and see downtown. So that was what I was, I guess I was referring to. And then parking would be underneath, and it would be easily to get out and blah, blah, blah.
What will happen first? Mandatory orientations for fans so they know how to cheer, or the Mavericks get a new arena in the design district?
The second one, for sure. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
I'm gonna get mandatory orientations.
All right.
I'll lead them.
Okay. I would look forward to that for sure. Coming up next, regardless of how the series turns out, what is your confidence going forward in the Luka-Jason Kidd partnership? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.